and mowed the yard and planted lots of flowers, would that get me into heaven? No. If I was kind to my animals and loved my family, would that get me into heaven? No, they said. Then she said, then how can I get to heaven? And one little boy raised his hand and he said, you have to be dead. Well, there's definitely a lot of truth to that. Except for Enoch and Elijah, right? We're the only ones that didn't have to die to get there. The current death rate in our world is 100% besides those two men, which I'm not sure what that percent would make that. And we know because of sin, death passed upon all men. You remember how God told Adam and Eve they would die if they ate of that fruit. And Satan said, no, you won't die. And ever since, man has died. There's an appointment for every one of us. Unless Jesus returns, we have an appointment and we are going to die. Unless Christ returns. From what I could find worldwide, this is kind of shocking. 2 to 3 people die every second. 150 per minute. 9,000 per hour. 216,000 per year that are dying. Now, if you want to bring that into perspective, not per year, that's per day, sorry. I said per year. 216,000. I saw some people's eyes roll up in their head and they were like, that math doesn't make sense. That's what caught my attention. Per day. If the Bible is right, and I believe it is, this means that approximately 216,000 people every day either go to heaven or to hell. They're making their way. Their appointment is there. They're making their way to their eternal home, or one or the other. If you want to break this down and understand this, this would be the equivalent of 216 towns the size of Jessup every day passing away. It's a little sobering and shocking to think that there's that amount of people passing away. I think it should give us an urgency, maybe, to like get out there and shed the light like we were praying about, to tell people the good news about Jesus. What is heaven? Do you even want to go there? Do you know enough about it? And this is not new stuff. I just want to remind you about some good stuff that is for the people of God. Heaven is God's house. It's where Jesus and God and the angels, and it's where the activity, it's where they live, it's where they are, it's where we get our life from. And all the saints before us who have died are there, living their best life now. And Jesus invites every one of us to join him. Jesus said, and I don't know if that verses are up there or not, that's fine. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house. Love that. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Father's house. Folks, heaven is not just an imagination that we can drum up. It is not just an emotion that we feel.
Sorry, I need a tissue.
It is not a little island off the coast somewhere, some beautiful place. It's not a projection of the best that you can be. It's not a vision of long for something that you dream of. It is not the invention of men, man. Our thoughts do not make heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. It is a place. And heaven is referred to in different ways in the Bible. It's referred to as a country. Heaven is referred to as a city. It's referred to as a kingdom. And we can understand these things. We can identify with country. We can identify with city. We can identify with kingdom. We get this. In heaven, that's how heaven, the new earth, I don't understand you're all about it, but I think we can think of it in those terms. But here in John chapter 14, he said, it's my Father's house. If you've experienced a good life at home, if you had a good father and a good mother, you know how powerful it is and how inviting and how you just want to go back home. Even at 50 years old, 51 years old, I love to go home to Father's house, Father and Mother's house. I love to go home. Everything is okay when I'm at home. Life feels better when I'm home. It feels safer. It feels secure. It feels better when I'm at home. And I want you to understand this, everyone here, children and everything. When your heart, when you give your heart to Jesus, when you decide you're going to follow God, God becomes your Father. You become an heir to everything that belongs to Him. You talk about secure, safe, love in my Father's house. Homeland, a place of belonging. Jonathan Edwards said it becomes us, becomes us to spend this life only as a journey toward heaven, to which we should subordinate all other concerns of life. Why? Why should we labor for or set our hearts on anything else but that which is our proper end and true happiness? All of mankind longs for peace, happiness, security. It's in us. We long for it. But here on earth, we encounter things constantly that leave our happiness diminished and our anxieties increasing. And one of Edwards' resolutions was, I am resolved to endeavor to obtain for myself as much happiness as possible in the other world as I possibly can. He had his mind set on eternity, on the next world. Our life here is this long. Our life in eternity, you've seen the rope. You've seen how short our life here. Why don't we spend our life preparing for that eternal home? True and lasting joy will only be found in the person of Jesus Christ in a place called heaven. I don't know what your thoughts are about heaven. Is it even a place you want to go? Do you spend much time thinking about it? What is heaven to you? Do you think of it as one long eternal church service? Is that how you think about heaven? Are we going to sing forever? Are we just going to sing forever, like they said, for a million years? Is that what we're going to do? If that's the case, does that excite you? Or are we going to be floating around the clouds all day strumming our harps? Jamie would probably like that. Does heaven seem kind of boring to you? For me personally, I don't think of heaven so much as what we're going to do, but rather the state of being, the presence, the atmosphere, the environment, who we will be with. This is what excites me about heaven. I'm not worried about what I'm going to do, although I feel like there is going to be plenty of purpose and fulfillment in what we do there, and you won't be bored. Take it from me. If I'm wrong, tell me in heaven. You won't be bored. But it's more the environment, the feeling of love, whole love like we've never experienced, the feeling of peace like we've never experienced. All those, just those elements alone is what excites me about heaven. What is not in heaven? You know, we sing the song, there's no disappointment in heaven. No disappointment in heaven. Right there, I'll sign up. That alone, I'll sign up. No disappointment, seriously? No weariness, sorrow, or pain. No hearts that are bleeding and broken. Anyone want to go? No rent or mortgage payments. No taxes, hunger, and thirst. No funerals, no grave sites. Sign me up. And we haven't even hardly begun to talk about what's really there yet. But these are the things that won't be there. And you take the pain and the sorrow and the disappointment out of it. Can we even imagine a life like that? Not really. Sin won't be there. The effects of sin, the person of sin, Satan, no longer will he have any impact or influence in our lives. Zero. Gone forever. The curse, no more curse, is how Revelation says it. No more curse. We can't even imagine. The fearful, it also says that some other things that won't be there. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, the liars won't be there. You know, there's something else that won't be there, and we talked about it last Sunday. Married couples. That's a little bit hard for us to think about, that my wife and I won't be married for eternity. Sonia might like that. We won't be married in heaven. That's what the Bible says. We studied it last Sunday. It says, for in the resurrection, this is what Jesus said, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God. But I propose to you this morning that there will be a marriage. It won't be between a man and a wife. It's going to be between the church and Jesus. The Bible talks a lot about how our lives, our marriage here on earth, is only a type. It's a mystery of what is to come. And I promise you, Sonia, that in heaven, every longing you have ever had, every desire in a relationship, every love that you want felt is going to be 100 times better than I can ever give you. I don't think you'll want to be married to me. It's hard for us to imagine that. Kind of. But I don't think we can imagine those basic needs that every one of us have is to be loved, to be cared for, to know that I'm wanted, to know that I have what it takes. All those basic needs are going to be met in Jesus Christ. And we won't feel that need for that marriage relationship. There's a marriage supper of the Lamb, and I want to be there. One of the hardest things to think about, probably, about heaven, and it can almost drive you crazy if you think about it, and there will likely be people that we love here on earth that won't be there. And the question we wrestle with, will we know it? I don't know. What do you do with those questions? And I know a young lady here was in our church was wrestling with that recently. What do you do with that? How do you answer someone like that? I don't know, but I think it ought to behoove us to do everything we can in our power and in this time, short time we have, to tell people about the good news of Jesus. We need to ingrain it in our children. We need to talk about it. Morning, the Bible says to talk about it all the time. And not to only our family, but to our neighbors and our towns and our people. What is in heaven? Yes, there are streets of gold. We was talking about what's not there. What is in heaven? Yes, there are streets of gold, pearly gates, bodies of water, clear as crystal, streams, landscaping that will blow your mind, animals that are tame and get along with each other. Everything that is beautiful here on earth, creation-wise, will be magnified 100 times over. Sarah, you talked about the glory in the West, and I agree with you, God shouts it, but I don't think it. I think once we get to heaven and we see those mountains from a heavenly perspective in the new earth, whew, it's going to blow us away, trust me. But just that alone, the majesticness of creation, I think is going to be the colors, the water, everything is just going to be magnified 100 times over. Our Redeemer is in heaven. Our Savior. Hebrews 9:24 says, for Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, talking about the earthly tabernacle, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He's there for us, interceding for us. What will it be like in that moment? When we take our final breath, you know, we really don't die. Did you ever stop and think about that? We don't die. We just move from here to there. In the moment that you pass away, you take your last breath, you are living somewhere else. I'm not sure how that all works. I haven't experienced it. But when we pass and take our final breath and we move to our eternal home, I've never been by the side of someone that has died, not that I can remember, when they took their last breath. But you hear stories sometimes of people as they're nearing very near. Either they see something or they'll lift up their hands or it's like they're reaching out and they're moving from here to there. And some have witnessed faces lighting up with a smile. But let me tell you here, we are about way more than the streets of gold, even though that's good and we think about it, is to see our Savior face to face. Can you imagine seeing him for the first time? There he is. And we'll recognize him by the nails, prints in his hands. Maybe his head is bruised. I don't know if his head is bruised or not from the crown of thorns. The piercing in his side. And I think that's going to be there for eternity to remind us of how great a salvation that we have experienced. The church will be together in heaven. The church of Jesus Christ will be together. In my years with Choice Books, and Devon talked about that, one of my highlights was every year we would get together as Choice Bookers and we'd have a conference for several days. And it was very refreshing to talk and be with people who do the same thing that you do. You get each other, you understand each other, and you get each other's whatever you're dealing with. That's what heaven's going to be like. We're going to get each other. We're going to understand each other. And I love the fact, in my years of choice too, I would sit with different nationalities. I sat with guys from Burma, from Indonesia, from Honduras, from Africa, from Ethiopia. And like you would sit with these men and you would hear their stories and they would talk about their faith in Jesus. And to this day, we call each other brother. Hey, brother, that's how heaven's going to be. Every nationality, every race, and I love it. I wish we could experience that more here on earth. In a poll, the question was asked, what do you look forward to seeing most in heaven? Who do you look forward to seeing most in heaven? Who would you say? Who do you look forward most to seeing in heaven? Besides Jesus. Everyone obviously would say Jesus, but apart from that. 31% said mother. 16% said father. 10% said spouse. What's wrong with that? You know what I think it is? I think within each one of us, there is such a longing and a desire to be loved, and not to only be loved, but to show love, but to experience that. And we are broken. In our efforts here to love each other the way we should, we don't get it right a lot of the times. And I just think it's such a deep longing in our hearts, and that's where I go back again. Marriage in heaven is going to be way better than marriage here on earth because of what Jesus did. Something else that's in heaven, our resources to live are there already. 1 Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Everything you need to survive in heaven is already there. Don't worry about it. You'll be good. Our investments we made here on earth are there. We'll be there. We are still laying up treasure. Our investments are going there. And Jesus, he taught this as he was on the mountain there, what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount, he taught this. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. How do we lay up treasure? How do you lay up treasure in heaven? You ever think about that? What are you doing to lay up treasure in heaven? You probably think a lot about investments here. You think about how to handle your money and what can you get for the best return and blah, 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 blah. Do you stop and think about laying up treasure in heaven? And how do you do it? I don't know, but I think maybe this is a large part of it is to invest in what is going there. And that's souls of men. There are so many needs, and we saw it Wednesday night when the CAM representative was here. There are so many needs, opportunities for us to invest into the kingdom of God, and the return on the investment will never diminish, will never be stolen, but will always grow. I believe as we invest in people, as we invest in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we are intentional with sharing the good news, I think we're laying up treasure in heaven. Amen or not? Is there another? What else? How else do we lay up treasure in heaven?
It's making the name of God great and that they have back people too.
Colossians 3:1-2 says, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. Is that where your affections are this morning? In the eternal? Or is it here on earth? Our reward will be there. I'll wrap this up here before too long. Our reward will be there. There will be a crown. Scripture is very clear on being faithful in little. You will be given more. That's a reward. As you are faithful in little, you will be given more responsibility, more things. And I believe it will translate over into heaven. Your faithfulness. How do we get there? You have to have a reservation. We studied this in Sunday school last Sunday. You have to have a reservation. You have to have a wedding garment. Your name has to be in the book of life. Jesus told the disciples at one point when they were on fire for the gospel and they were new and they were just, man, they were nailing it, casting out demons and bringing fire down from heaven. And man, they were on fire. They were just, came back, and they were all pumped up. And Jesus said, look, I don't think he discouraged. He said, that's good. But he said, don't rejoice in that, but rather rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. There is a place for every one of your names in the book of life. There is a place for it, but it's up to you to have it written there. I'm going to read a story in Randy Alcorn's Heaven book that illustrates this. And you probably heard this before. Ruth Anna Metzger, a professional singer, tells a story that illustrates the importance of having our names written in the book. Several years ago, she was asked to sing at the wedding of a very wealthy man. According to the invitation, the reception would be held on the top two floors of Seattle's Columbia Tower, the Northwest's tallest skyscraper. She and her husband, Roy, were excited about attending. At the reception, waiters in tuxedos and offered luscious, can't even pronounce some of these words, and exotic beverages. The bride and groom approached a beautiful glass and brass staircase that led to the top floor. Someone ceremoniously cut a satin ribbon draped across the bottom of the stairs. They announced the wedding feast was about to begin. Bride and groom ascended the stairs, followed by their guests. At the top of the stairs, a maitre d', is that how you call it, maitre d', with a bound book greeted the guests outside the doors. May I have your name, please? I am Ruth Anna Metzger, and this is my husband, Roy. He searched the M's. I'm not finding it. Would you spell it, please? Ruth Anna spelled her name slowly. After searching the book, the maitre d' looked up and said, I'm sorry, but your name isn't here. There must be some mistake, Ruth Anna replied. I'm the singer. I sang for this wedding. The gentleman answered, it doesn't matter who you are or what you did. Without your name in the book, you cannot attend the banquet. He motioned to a waiter and said, show these people to the service elevator, please. The Metzgers followed the waiter past beautifully decorated tables laden with shrimp, whole smoked salmon, magnificent carved ice sculptures, adjacent to the banquet area. An orchestra was preparing to perform, the musicians all dressed in dazzling white tuxedos. The waiter led Ruth Anna and Roy to the service elevator. ushered them in, and pushed G for the parking garage. After locating their car and driving several miles in silence, Roy reached over and put his hand on Ruth Ann's arm. "Sweetheart, what happened?" "When the invitation arrived, I was busy," Ruth Anna replied. "I never bothered to RSVP. I was the singer. Surely I could go to the reception without returning the RSVP. Ruth Anna started to weep, not only because she had missed the most lavish banquet she'd ever been invited to, but also because she suddenly had a small taste of what it will be like someday for people as they stand before Christ and find their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Throughout the ages, countless people have been too busy to respond to Christ's invitation to his wedding banquet. Many assume that the good they've done, perhaps attending church, being baptized, singing in the choir, or helping in a soup kitchen, will be enough to gain entry to heaven. But people who do not respond to Christ's invitation to forgive their sins are people whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. To be denied entrance to heaven's wedding banquet will not just mean going down the service elevator to the garage. It will mean being cast out into hell forever. Back in John 14, I read, "Let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God." And right after that, Thomas said, "But God, how can we know the way? How do we know how to get there?" And Jesus' famous words, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. No man comes to Father's house but through me." And this morning, that invitation is still available. That invitation is still active, and reservations are still being made. Today is the day of salvation, and I trust that every heart, every person here this morning has made reservations to be there. I'll close there. Anybody want to make a testimony, or you want to add something about heaven, or what you think about is heaven that can be an inspiration to others, or Isaiah, which chapter?
Isaiah 65, starting at verse 17. This probably is a good summary. He says, "I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness." So the rest of the chapter describes heaven. And it's very much in tangible terms and things that we can know and anticipate.
How many of you have listened to Flight Final? How many have not ever heard Flight Final? It's an allegory depicting a flight of a departed soul, leaving this earth through an airport, getting on an airplane, arriving at the New Jerusalem, entering the Holy City. How many have not heard that? Wow. Go on YouTube and search Flight Final. It is worth listening to. It's just like I said, it's an allegory depicting a soul that's leaving this earth through an airport, getting on an airplane, supersonic jetting to the New Jerusalem, arriving, coming in over the city on an airplane and looking down and getting there. It's worth your time to listen to. Thank you for listening. Wheelchairs.
And I do remember that was one of those, just, you know, we missed Jerry, but it was an inspirational funeral. I mean, you just thought we were all in there thinking, you know, did Jerry, you know, with the blink of an eye, you know, he passed from here to eternity, and he opened his eyes, looked down, and he was standing. He's like, and then he looked up there, and Jesus, I bet he went running. That would be cool. And course, we think of, tend to think of heaven in our earthly terms or whatever. Yeah, just, I don't know if any of you ever watched Heaven Is For Real, which, yeah, I don't know if that's all how it all went down there, but that was a neat movie to watch and to think about it. And like, he saw heaven, he saw his older sister that never was born. And so, and that, yeah, but here's my ask was, you know, just, you know, when I watched that movie especially, and then just, yeah, thinking about it again in earthly terms and years or whatever, and you just wonder, like if I were to go to heaven right now, would I see my 8-year-old children come around to me?
Man. I believe you will.
I'd like to share a text that I got from one of my sisters recently. There was a young, I'm not sure how young she was, but a single girl. Her name is Julia Booth. Some of you might know her from up in North Carolina.
Mary Lois, you might want to stand up, turn around. I know how hard it is to hear when you... I think somehow on those scars there's going to be red light just glowing out of it. Somehow, I don't know. Do you have that song to put up? Heaven's Gonna Shine. Anybody else have anything? Okay, well, I just have a song to sing. I was going to sing here.
No, go ahead and sing it.
Yeah. All right, let's stand up and sing this song.
I don't have a pitch by it here. I'll start it. I don't know exactly how sweet heaven will be. I don't know what beauty or what glory I'll see. I don't know what I'll be.
Yeah. Hey, we had asked Sharon and Gloria to do some decorating stuff, so kind of switching here. But we've done some, made some changes, different stuff, and I know changes in the church. It is, there's things that you get used to, and so some people like change, some people don't like change. But this is one thing that we'd like a little bit of input. We may put wood just here from there to the ceiling. It would look something like this. But we would like a little bit of input. So say something to us or Joel and Gloria if you like it, or if you don't like it. We're not voting on it. It's just if you care to give input, we would like your input. So that's it. I'm going to turn it back to Marcus. Just pray. I think one thing that I was thinking about with heaven, and like, we have stillborn children too. And it'll be interesting to meet them. But like, you do those numbers, 216,000 a day. Those are all God's creation. Those are all people, all of our friends that aren't Christians, were created by God with plans, with purpose. And like, there's something that's going to be awesome about heaven, but like, hopefully those people can also know the provision. So there's a heart of God that wants all his children.